among all of the other things that for which I am thankful this year, I'm extremely thankful that so many of you have braved the weather this nasty weekend to make our fellowship complete. It's been a lovely time for me, and I trust that God has been glorified and our hearts have been blessed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And don't we need to remind ourselves of that regularly? The things of earth seem to loom so large at times. We get to the thinking that we're going to be here on this earth forever and forever and forever. And we're not really. We're only here for a short time. Conversely, the poet has said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. If we have all of that eternity ahead of us, then we need to learn to know him now. The more we can learn to know him, I wonder if it will affect our appreciation of him in eternity. That's not doctrine. I didn't say that that's to be believed. I'm just raising a question. When we began on Friday night, we had a little devotional on the matter of our attitudes and our approach to God. Worship, praise, thanksgiving, prayer, and discipleship. I'd like to close with another devotional, and it is those seven occurrences in the Gospel of John where he refers, the Spirit of God refers, to the love of the Father for the Son. And it's a beautiful thing because it grows, it's sequential, and we find ourselves right in the middle. And how we thank God that God's love could not be contained. And so let's look at John's Gospel chapter 3 first of all. Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son. That expression, those few words, take us back into a past eternity, bring us to the present moment, and project us into the furthest reaches of future eternity, if we can speak of eternity as past and future. It is a continuous verb, loveth. The Father loveth the Son. He always did. He does now. And he always will. The relationship of the Father and the Son is unique. We have it in the type of Christ in Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 sons. But it said that Jacob loved Joseph. There was a peculiar bond between Jacob and Joseph. Now we may find fault with the way that Jacob expressed that. We may say that he was partial, and we can find all kinds of difficulty with it. But there it lies as a beautiful type of the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. Joseph was the unique son. Joseph was the uncomplaining sufferer. Joseph was the universal Savior, and Joseph was the unparalleled Sovereign. The Father loveth the Son. And notice what he says following that. And giveth all things into his hand. That's what Pharaoh did to Joseph, didn't he? He gave all things into his hand. He had complete confidence. And this first reference to the love of God for his Son is the expression of confidence. A wise father wouldn't do this particularly with his son until he had proved himself. But these two are co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal. And there's a unique bond. No one can explain, at least that I know of, the Trinity. We have different ideas on how to make it understandable to ourselves. If there is one God, how can he be in three persons? But I don't feel obligated to explain God to anybody. Because if I could explain God, I would have to be equal to God. And so I accept the fact that there are three persons in the Godhead, and I look with joy and blessedness at this tremendous relationship that is expressed here in these few words. The Father loveth the Son and hath given him all things. Has he given him all things? Yes, he has. He has put all rule and authority in his hands. He has said, when he raised him from the dead, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's putting him in complete charge of everything that is pro-God and anti-God. He hath given him all things. He sustains all things by the word of his power and by the power of his word. The Father loveth the Son and hath given him all things. It's the expression of the confidence of love. Not too many fathers would do this until the young man was proven. We would perhaps give him a limited supply of power and of authority. But the Father had no reservations at all. He declares him to be his beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Shall we go to chapter 5 and verse 20? And there in chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things." He showed him everything. Now you may have sons, you may have heirs, and you may give them a little insight as to what they might expect after you're gone, but not too many of us. We'll go into all the full details of what's ahead. But the Father loved the Son, and he showed him everything. He showed him everything. Keep that in mind. Not only did he show him the glory that would be his in the coming eternity, and the Lord certainly knew that that would happen, because in the Lord's Prayer in John 17, you remember, he said, "Father, glorify thou me with that glory which I had before the foundation of the world. He wouldn't have asked for that if the Father hadn't showed him everything. The glory that should follow. But what precedes the glory, he showed him that too. He showed him the agonies of the cross. He showed him the humiliation that he would have to go through. He showed him everything. Isaac went up the hill with his father. Father, I see the fire and I see the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And the father said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He couldn't tell him the whole story. It was too much. He could only speak of it in those carefully chosen words. A gentleman I know had a son, 16 years of age. He went to take a physical for his driver's license. And the doctor said, I want to see your father. He went to the doctor and he said, there's something wrong with the boy, but I don't know what it is. We'll have to take x-rays. They took x-rays. And he said to the father, your son has an inoperable cancer and he'll be dead within 6 months. And the father said, who's going to tell him? And the doctor said, you are. Can you imagine the heartbreak that passed through that young father's existence as he told his son? He showed his son what was coming to pass. Why? The lad said, why? And of course the father had no answer for that. But God showed the son everything. The condescension of becoming a man like his creature. The poverty of Nazareth. The ostracization of Judah. And finally, the rejection by the leaders of the nation. And then the cross. O cross of Christ, O glorious tree. There was nothing glorious about it, was there, to the eye? It was a terrible thing. A shameful occasion. But the poet says, O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. And the Father, because he loved him, showed him all that would occur. But of course he showed him too that he would bring many sons to glory. He showed him the riches of his fruitful work down through the corridors of a coming eternity. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. Shall we turn also now to John's Gospel chapter 10? John's Gospel chapter 10, for the third of these expressions of the Father's love. And in John 10 verse 17, the Lord is speaking and he said, therefore doth my Father love me. Why does the Father love him? He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now we know why he laid down his life, don't we? He laid down his life to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's not what it says. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. It's probably pictured for us in the type that we discussed the other evening, the type of the burnt offering. We indicated that the burnt offering and the meal offering and the peace offering, the fellowship offering, are sweet savor offerings. That is, the question of sin is not brought in. It's not raised. Why then, if it's a sweet savor offering and sin isn't being dealt with here, why then is the animal put to death? We have it here, don't we? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I am willing. I am willingly obedient to him, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. The Father, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Now on another occasion, he gathers us in, doesn't he? He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But this is the bond of affection between the Father and the Son, expressed in the Son's willingness to do the will of God. He came to do the will of God, even if it led him to the death of the cross. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Do we not have a parallel for ourselves here? Do we not recall, as we think of this, the words of our beloved Savior when he said, don't lay down your life for the things of this world, but lay down your life for me. Yes, he was willing to lay down his life in obedience to the Father. And we ought to be obedient. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives. God won't make any of us, or many of us, become martyrs and lay down our lives in a moment of time. But we were speaking at the dinner table today of those that lay down their lives not in a moment of time, but a moment at a time. They lay down their lives a moment by moment sacrifice. They lay down their lives a day-by-day offering to God. We sing very glibly, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him? But the challenge that must come to our hearts is, do we follow this example? Are we willing in obedience to the Father's love, or for ourselves living sacrifices? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I may lay down my life that I might take it again. Let's turn to chapter 15, verse number 9. Now, if you've been counting, we've counted three, and this is the fourth. And the fourth number in seven numbers is the very center, isn't it? And I like this. It says here, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. If we have in the first instance, the confidence of love. And then the Father showed him everything. That's the confidentiality of love. And then he says, my Father loves me because I'm willing to lay down my life. That's the consecration of love. But this is the love communicated. We are brought into the very center of the relationship of God the Father for God the Son. Does that raise the hair on the back of your neck? It does to me. That's exciting. That's spine tingling. That God should choose out of the billions and billions and billions of people that have traversed this earth, He should choose me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, was blind, but now I'm see. It's not only a question of being lost and found and blind and seeing, it's a question of being brought into the center of the love of God for His Son. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says to us here in these words, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Do you want to measure how much Christ loves you? Well, there's no problem. All you have to do is measure how much God loves His Son. Of course, there is a problem, isn't there? It's immeasurable. He was completely satisfied in a past eternity with His delight in His beloved Son. His love was full, but it could not be contained. That was the problem. It had to overflow. So God gave His Son. And He loved Him because the Son was willing to lay down His life in obedience to the Father's will. The Father, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Let's go on now to chapter 17, verse 23. We have seen love communicated. And in verse 23 of chapter 17, we have the communion of love. I in them, and thou in me. Are we tied up in a bundle of life? We certainly are. In a bundle of love? Yes, indeed. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be complete in one, the whole body complete, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Here is a repeat of the expression of chapter 15, reminding us that we are in the very center of God's love. We move down to verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That they may behold my glory. First we're brought in to the love of God and the love of Christ. Then we find ourselves immersed in it. And now we're engaged in the hope of glory. that they may behold my glory. I said to somebody the other day, when was the last time you heard a good, clear, perhaps rousing message on the Lord's return? Not too often. Not too often. We're becoming oriented to this world. We're settling down in it. And what lies ahead? Well, of course, it'll get me out of my arthritic problems. It'll get somebody else out of a heart problem, somebody else out of something else. But is that why we wait for His coming? I think when we consider all that God is and all that Christ is and all that they have done for us, this should be the desire of our hearts, even as it was the desire of our Lord Jesus and is, that we might behold His glory. Father, glorify Thou me with that glory which I had with Thee before the world was. What glory was His! The glory of His creation. We mentioned the other evening, we can be lost in the expanse of it. The glory of His wisdom, the glory of His power, the glory of His authority, the glory of His riches, the cattle on a thousand hills are His. But what shall we say when that added glory is spread to a gazing, wondering universe? The glory of His redemption. And you and I will be there to be to the praise of His glory. Makes us quicken our steps a little bit to look forward to being in that glorious company. As we said this morning, God, the Lord Jesus, is going to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And couldst thou be delighted in creatures such as us, as we, who when we saw thee slighted and nailed thee to a tree? Yes, He's delighted in creatures such as we, because He has cleansed us by His precious blood. And He's going to present us faultless before the presence of His glory, and that with exceeding joy. Oh, how we should be looking forward to the glorious return and the return in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have, which Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's the continuation of the love of God for the Father. He's going to display His glory in us. And then the last verse, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And here is the communication of love throughout our life, our lifetime. God wants us to display, as a living witness to the world, the love and fellowship and enjoyment that He has in His Son. And if we have that desire to enjoy Christ, to enjoy God, to enjoy every moment of our Christian experience, we'll be fulfilling the law of God, the supreme law of God, the law of love. If we For you and I are not going to be judged by the Decalogue. We're not going to be judged by the first commandment or the second or the third or any one of the ten. But we're going to be judged by the law of liberty, the law of love. It isn't a case of what I don't do. It isn't a case of what I avoid, and I should avoid certain things. The apostle says to avoid all appearance of evil. I hear folks saying, well, there's nothing in the Bible. You can't give me a verse that says I shouldn't go here and I shouldn't go there. Yes, I have. I have a verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. But that isn't the matter in which we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Not what we haven't done, but what have we done? What have we done? We need to be up and doing. The Lord is coming. Even if you haven't heard it for a while, the Lord is coming. He hasn't delayed it because we haven't preached it for a bit. The Lord is coming. And He's coming soon. Where will I be? In what attitude of mind will I be when He comes? We're going to be judged by the law of liberty. What have I done? Not what I have not, what have I not done? What have I done? What have I done with the 76 years that He has given me? I tell you, it's a frightening thing. What has He done? What have I done with the funds that have passed through my wallet? What have I done with the hours that He has given me? What have I done with any ability that He has given me? What have I done with the gift? Have I ever bothered to find out what it is? He wants us to reflect the union of the Father and the Son, into which we have been brought by infinite grace. He wants us to reflect that here on earth. And so may God help us to appreciate more and more the love of God the Father for the Son, and the love of the Father and the Son for you and for me. We're immersed in that bundle of life and that bundle of love. We can never escape from it. We don't want to. We can never fall from grace in that respect. And we've given the absolute and amazing privilege of reflecting the love of God and the love of Christ here on earth. So may God just seal home these few simple thoughts to our hearts and cause us to walk for His glory. We're a little early, but I'm sure you'll appreciate getting home on a night like this a little bit sooner. Shall we pray? We thank Thee, our God, for the riches of Thy grace and Thy kindness toward us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless Thee for every remembrance of Him. May our hearts be so captivated that we will be able to sing with unfeigned spirits, Jesus, the very thought of Thee with sweetness fills my breast. But better far Thy face to see and in Thy presence rest. O God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit may take Thy word and make it real in our experience. We pray Thy blessing upon this testimony in this place and ask that it may be the birthplace of souls and the growing up and maturing place of spirits. We ask all of this as we commend ourselves to Thee for traveling mercies for the evening in the precious and lovely name of the Son of Thy love, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our service is over.